This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Can money and planning stop devastating flooding?
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The mayor of New York today is set to make his case that his city needs billions of dollars to prepare for future severe weather. 8 months after Superstorm Sandy, Mayor Michael Bloomberg wants to shore up his city amid predictions by scientists of rising sea levels. In Germany, Austria, the Czech Republic, and beyond, residents are living with high water today. Severe flooding has led to the deaths of at least 24 people. The BBC's Steve Evans is in Berlin. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Any sign this flooding is showing any signs of easing?
Easing a bit. The high water levels that we've seen in the last, well, nearly a week now, the highest in some cases for 500 years, they seem to be going back down. But having said all that, there are an awful lot of people still out of their own homes, 23,000 at the last count. There is a heroic effort by local people in lots of places to have human chains getting sandbags to places.
And some of the major train lines to and from Berlin are having trouble.
That's right. I went on a journey on Sunday, which should have taken 1 hour on a high-speed train. That's in quotes. It took 3 hours with water as far as you could see on either side. The main line between Berlin and the rest of the country, really, is cut off. And so we're having to go round the affected area. There is also a debate about cost, with some politicians saying, look, landowners have been reluctant to let us do flood protection schemes, for example, and we want to drive through planning permission. One mayor said, for example, the planning procedures have been so long drawn out, the flood protection his village needed so badly isn't due for another 4 years. So a big political controversy, as the water may be, starts to recede.
The BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin. Steve, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Now let's do the numbers. Japan's central bank said today it's not going to tinker with its bond buying, and the Nikkei fell about 1.5%. The FT 100 in London is currently down 1.4%. The man who leaked information about the National Security Agency's secret data collection programs worked for Booz Allen Hamilton, a Fortune 500 publicly traded company where shares fell 2.6% on Monday. It's part of a burgeoning industry largely funded by tax dollars, as Shannon Mullen reports.
The national intelligence budget for next fiscal year is about $50 billion, and the government spends about 70% of that budget on private contractors. They do everything from serving food in cafeterias to building satellites. Philip Carter is a senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security. He says after 9/11, the government needed a lot of high-tech skills in a hurry.
Right now, the trend remains in the direction of contractors, whether it's for analysis or building large technical products like cloud servers.
But long-term, critics worry about transparency. Scott Amey is with the Project on Government Oversight.
There was never a transition. I don't think questions were presented on whether this workforce truly had to remain to be a contractor workforce.
It might be hard for the government to bring those jobs in-house. Uncle Sam would have to lure well-paid tech talent away from the private sector with government salaries. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
Altria Group will announce plans for its first electronic cigarette later today. R.J. Reynolds just unveiled its own smoking gadget. And early Facebook investor Sean Parker just sank $75 million into an e-cigarette company. Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
At a bar in the Crown Heights neighborhood of Brooklyn, 32-year-old Andy Lee takes a drag from a Puff brand e-cigarette. He started smoking them about 6 months ago.
I wanted to quit smoking, and I don't think I was ready to do it cold turkey. So unlike other forms like the patch or the gum, e-cigarettes still let me have the feeling like I was smoking.
E-cigarettes contain liquid nicotine that turns into a vapor smokers inhale. Lee says e-cigarettes are sold pretty much everywhere now, and a lot of people he knows are starting to buy them.
My friends are slowly ditching regular cigarettes for e-cigarettes.
Sales of e-cigarettes are expected to double this year to about $1 billion. Sales of regular cigarettes have been declining for 40 years to about $80 billion. Those numbers have gotten the attention of Big Tobacco. Last week, R.J. Reynolds unveiled its e-cigarette, Vuse. Stephanie Cordisco heads R.J. Reynolds' e-cigarette division.
Part of our transformation strategy is really about redefining tobacco enjoyment. We expect that this is going to be a significant game changer for our industry and that will deliver a very strong profit to the bottom line.
Up until now, most e-cigarette makers have been small, independent companies. But Altria is getting into the game, and Lorillard recently purchased Blu, a well-established e-cigarette.
It's still a relatively new category, but it's growing leaps and bounds.
Bonnie Herzog is a tobacco analyst at Wells Fargo.
In the next 10 years, there's a good chance at this trajectory that the consumption of e-cigs could surpass consumption of traditional cigs.
Herzog attributes that growth to a number of things. E-cigs are usually less expensive than regular cigarettes. They can be smoked indoors, and they don't carry the stigma regular cigarettes do. Most importantly, many smokers like Andy Lee see them as a way to help them quit or cut back while still enjoying the smoking experience, for the most part.
They're kind of effective. I would say they're almost as good as a cigarette, but not really.
In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And in Hessen, Germany, north of Frankfurt, a really tired guy is working at a bank. He's supposed to transfer 62 euros, but the wretched guy falls asleep at his keyboard with his finger on the number 2 key. So the finger ends up transferring 222,222,222 euros instead. The guy's supervisor got in trouble, and the mess ended up in court. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.